It's Not Just You with Stacy and Lynn, a safe place to talk about issues and life, especially the things most people don't want to discuss. Now, here are your hosts, Stacy DeFord and Lynn Montemare on Empower Radio.
Hi, welcome to It's Not Just You. I'm Stacy DeFord.
And I'm Lynn Montemare.
And today we thought we would do something a little different. We thought we'd actually talk about how we got here.
How it all began.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously we're friends and we've been friends for a very long time.
You were at my wedding.
That's right.
1997.
You were in labor in my living room.
That is true.
In a snowstorm.
That is true.
I will never forget you. You were in labor, you were having contractions, and you were down on your hands and knees because apparently that's what your doctor recommended. And one of your friends was at my house, too. She had driven you from work.
Luann.
And you were like, if we could all get down on our hands and knees, I'll be more comfortable.
Yeah, because everyone was just staring at me. And then you guys were making up things, I think, for me to do. Like, press your back against the wall and bark. You know, I was like, is this really going to work?
It was your first baby.
It was. Yes.
We enjoyed ourselves. No, but we're talking about, so we've been friends a very, very, very long time. And so you would think, oh, they've been talking about stuff like this for years. But no, we haven't.
No. There's stuff that you don't feel you can share even with the closest of friends because you feel like ashamed or embarrassed. And we're going to talk a little bit about the time that we got on the phone. And
were we on the phone? I'm trying to remember.
We were on the phone. I remember exactly. I was getting onto 696.
Okay.
And we were just having a normal conversation. And then all of a sudden you just said one sentence and you were having some problems with your son and having to see a psychologist or whatever. And I had been having the same exact issues, but felt like I couldn't talk to anyone about it. And I said, this is weird. I'm having this problem. And then the floodgates opened up.
Yes. I remember that.
Yes.
And once those floodgates opened up about our children, then other floodgates about other things we weren't talking about because, oh, I don't know, we're embarrassed
right.
or you feel like a failure, even in front of your friends.
Oh, a failure as a mom, a failure as a wife.
Just as a woman.
As a woman in general. All the standards that you have to live up to in society. I mean, I still, even today, I'm mad at myself at thoughts I have about, you know, something I'm not doing because people might think poorly of me. When, why am I thinking that way?
Exactly. Why are you thinking that way?
I'm so always worried about what others are thinking. And here I am raising a daughter as well.
That is the hard part.
Right.
It's because you don't, it's such a fine line to, I remember when I was working part-time, when my daughter was little, and having to explain to her, you know, like, hey, mom loves you and loves being a mom,
right.
but also will go stir crazy if she has to stay in the house all day.
Right.
And you know, kids, I think my daughter got it. I don't know. I like to feel like I raised a feminist.
Mm-hmm. But
I think
I'm even,
I did.
I'm even like, I don't talk about this a lot, but I was the same person. I was raising my kids and I was saying, I'm going to work because, and I would tell my friends, my family, I'm just not the mom that's going to get on the ground and put a puzzle together or do the PTA stuff. I feel like I'd still be running 1,000 errands, but with kids with me and keeping them very busy and not being that stay at home mom. But, and this is the part I don't like to, you know, that I really don't talk about a lot, but sometimes now I look back and I regret it a little bit. Like, did I make the right decision? Was I being selfish? Should I have done something different? But, you know, I don't talk about that a lot either.
Well, okay, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
What do you regret?
I regret that, one turning point in my life came when my son was in kindergarten. I'll never forget his words. I missed the Christmas party for kindergarten.
Okay.
And I came home and he said, where were you today? And I said, what was today? And he said, my Christmas party. And you're the only mom that didn't show up.
Oh, harsh.
I literally quit my job 2 days later.
Seriously.
I did. But someone called me and told me, you know, they had a different job for me where I could have more flexibility. And I fell for it. Why didn't I just stick to my guns then? I don't know. Because I had so much guilt. And his little face, he never complained about anything. And the way he put it, my mom was the only one that didn't show up. Crush me.
Yeah, but you could have, I mean, that was just forgetting and a thing. Like, your job was flexible enough. Like, you actually could have made it to
probably.
That was not your job keeping you. Like, and I believe me, I know what you're talking about, because when I went back to work and my son was in middle school and I had to do a broadcast on the weekend because we had to, it was sold
right.
And he was up competing for the state championships for forensic, and I'm working, standing outside, freezing at the beginning of December, and my husband calls me. I didn't even recognize him. He was practically in tears, saying, telling me that our son got first place with a perfect score, and the place went nuts, and I missed it.
Yep.
And I'm like, why am I here?
I know, but see, I see what you're saying about it. It was me being forgetful, but I also feel like I put too much emphasis on my job. Like I should have been more thinking about priorities that I had at home. And so when you talk about that, or I talk about missing the Christmas party, it like stands out more than anything I really did at my job. You know, I always felt like, you know, I guess at home or at work, it's not like a ton of people appreciate you. There's not enough appreciation for anyone going around. Yeah. But, you know, I certainly would hope I would earn more appreciation from family members than I would work, you know, and it was always just more, more, more. And what did I really get out of it? And I don't know. I'm just having this go around my head in the last year of, did I make the right decision?
Well, okay, except the decision was made.
Yeah.
You thought you made the best decision with the information you had at the time.
Right.
Like, I love that you are thinking about it, but this is something, this is another reason we're doing this, because mm-hmm. we all know we beat ourselves up. And I don't want to see you beat yourself up. I don't want to see any woman out there beat herself up for a decision that she made that she thought was right at the time, because you do what you can with what you know.
Right.
And when you decide to make a change, I mean, I was home for years, and then I went back to work, and then I was home again for years, and then I went back to work. So I have been on both sides of the fence
right.
for a number of years, mm-hmm. and there is no right answer.
Yeah.
There is no right answer, I'm telling you.
But, you know, I always lived my life saying, you know, I'm not going to have regrets in life, because if you make a mistake, but you learn from it, it's not a regret, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't make the same mistake again. But something is just weighing on me lately where this isn't I don't get a second chance, you know? And when my daughter makes comments to me now, I don't know if she purposely knows she's, you know, getting me right, you
digging
know, where
the knife
it hurts.
In.
Yeah. But like, we were listening to a radio program the other day, and this woman called in and said, you know, I told my husband when the second baby comes, I'm quitting my job and you've got to figure it out because these babies are too important to me. And my daughter turned to me and said, oh, did you tell dad that? I guess I wasn't as important to you. This is what she says. She's 15.
Well,
she's
okay.
got to know that that's going to hurt my feelings.
Yeah, she does, because she's 15.
Right, exactly. I know.
That's what 15-year-old girls do.
Right.
You know, they take every advantage they can and try to use it.
She does it like it's her job.
She probably doesn't really feel that way. Like, she knows you're a good mom. I know she knows you're a good mom.
I try to believe that, but I have to tell you, and you know, this we'll talk more obviously about our family members throughout every show probably. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't show a lot of that. I mean, that's like her personality though. I mean, she does not show a lot of feelings.
Yeah, that is hard because and my son, who you know, we've discussed him mm-hmm. and his issues, and your daughter, it's funny because like my son is really good at showing appreciation. He is not good at showing when he's sorry.
Okay.
I never believe when he's sorry. It never seems genuine to me.
Right.
And so I find that very frustrating and difficult to work with.
Right. Right. I totally get what you're saying, because I feel even though, and then I have to think about it. I have to always look at myself too, as we talk about being a good mom. Is this coming from me? But when she says sorry a lot, it's sorry with a but or a reason or an excuse. I don't feel that it's ever genuinely, and I'm not, this is her demeanor. This is mm-hmm. her personality. I'm not saying anything bad. And where she gets it from, I'm not sure. But it's not like I feel like there's true ownership. Like, I feel like she knows that many times she digs deep and mm-hmm. hurts my feelings, but doesn't really get it. And I feel so bad, like I'm wasting my life away, because I keep in my mind going, I can't wait till she's 30. Because I feel like then she's going to be like, oh my God, mom, I really am super sorry. And then I'm going to be like, you love me.
Maybe we should devote a show to mom guilt.
Oh,
no. Not
a month.
Not guilt that mothers have, but guilt that mothers can use.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, I had a Jewish mother-in-law, and they're, you know, notorious for, they have a reputation through, you know, through media, like, you know, I brought you into this world, I could take you out.
Right.
Oh, no one cares for me, blah, 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 blah. My mother-in-law never did that, but somehow I do.
Sure.
And I was always very good at making my children feel guilty.
Oh.
Like, because they're 5.5 years apart.
Yeah.
And when they were little and would argue, I would be like, you're 5.5 years apart and you're different genders. What on earth could you have to argue about?
Right.
And when I'm dead, all you're going to have is each other.
Right. Yeah. And I'm just lately saying things like, you know, one day I might not be here, which, you know, I always made fun of, you know, once people get to a certain age, which I never know what age that is, where you tell someone your age and they start saying, good for you.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't want that to happen. But when let's just say 80, every holiday that comes up, they say, if I'm still here at Christmas, right?
Yes.
So I don't want to be doing that 30 years early, but I feel like I don't try to use it too much, but I just started saying that a couple times to Grace. She says, Mom, don't say that stuff. But I'm like, I just don't think she gets it that I might not always, you know, don't waste all this time by making me feel bad. And no one can make you feel bad or guilty. I know, but it's the little jabs.
You can make your children feel bad and guilty.
Okay, good.
I can do it. But I've been doing it since they were little.
Okay.
So I guess I feel like I was very consistent about it.
Right. Because
that's why I'm saying we should have a show, because if there's any young mothers out there,
we could help them.
I can teach you how to make those children. I will never forget one time my daughter went on a bike ride with a friend. This was elementary school, and I couldn't find them. I was out driving around for 45 minutes, couldn't find them. I was beside myself. I'm calling the girl's parents. They were like, oh, la, la, la. That girl had other issues.
Yeah.
But I told my husband I had an appointment to go donate blood. And as I'm pulling out of my neighborhood, I saw the two girls come riding up. And now it's been hours. And I said, Alicia, go to your room. I'm going to an appointment. I expect you to still be in bed crying when I get back. That she was.
See?
But I've been doing it for a very long time.
Why hasn't this gotten through to me then? Osmosis, something. Why haven't I picked this up?
Well, I'm just going to say this, and maybe this is something I imagine if people have been listening, they've probably already picked up on this themselves. You are a genuinely nice and kind person.
Yeah, I probably would have said, don't cry. Mommy's going to cancel her appointment. I don't want you to feel bad. That is, when you said that, I was like, that was so good. I would have been like, don't feel guilty. It's okay. It was probably my fault.
Okay, me? Not so much.
Right. Yes.
I'm not so nice.
No, what is that funny? I just told you today. I said, I'm going to stop being like this so accommodating person.
You
and
did.
We weren't even going to plan on talking about this later, but I just said that to you today.
No, you are. You are very, I would use the word to describe you. I would say genial. Because you're not like, you know, people don't walk all over you.
Right.
But you're very agreeable. You're very genial. You're easy to get along with. You make things easier for other people. That's just your nature.
Right.
But when you have somebody with your nature and then living in the same house with somebody who will take advantage of that nature.
Yep.
That is where problems come up.
You're absolutely right. And I think this is part of the message that we're trying to get to everyone out there. It's not just you. It's not just me.
Just you.
We all have these kind of things that are going on. And talking to each other can help us all.
Definitely. So I was talking to a group of women I get together with regularly yesterday. And I was telling them about the podcast, and, you know, they're like, oh yeah, we're going to start listening. And what are you talking about? And I kind of told them what we talk about. And then they said, oh, well, kind of not like, oh, we don't have anything.
Right.
But then 2 minutes later, the woman who said she kind of didn't have anything admitted that her two grown daughters will not come home for the holidays at the same time because they won't be in the same house together.
See? Everyone, it's like you just have to, it's there. We all have something.
We do.
Right. And no one wants to admit that their daughters aren't getting along. They won't have a happy holiday time.
And that was exactly it. Exactly. I said, why wouldn't you say that?
Yeah.
I'm not going to judge you for that. She goes, oh, I can hardly talk about it without crying. And I said, I understand that, but that's why like she should be able to talk about it without crying. She should be able to have people she can talk about it to.
Mm-hmm.
And she should be able to discuss how she feels about it.
Right. Well, was she afraid to be judged in that moment, or does she? Well, let me ask you this. Is she the type that, and it's not bad, but mm-hmm. there's lots of these women out there, and I'm not saying these women like in a bad way, but try to portray perfection.
No, she doesn't try to portray perfection, but she's, I think she feels like since her daughters are older, they're both in their 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she feels like since they're older, like she's done what she could to raise them, and she's afraid people are going to think she did something wrong. And so it's not even about being perfect. It's like, what did you do to these two women that they won't even be in the same house together? And it was nothing she did.
But going back to the guilt.
Yeah.
We think we did something wrong.
Of course we
Why
do.
Didn't we raise someone? Why doesn't one of my daughters pick up and put the olive branch out and realize family's the most important thing? And, you know, everything else, where did the things that we try to instill in them go? So we do feel, because I have this all these kind of things all the time. And I think, what did I do to cause this?
Exactly. But we're only responsible for so much. Like, and I think about that too. Like, why can't my son genuinely apologize?
Yeah.
What is it? I know he knows when he messes up, and I know that he's aware,
mm-hmm.
but it's almost like he can't.
But like, have you seen this? This is something that boggles my mind all the time. Two kids in my house, raised by the same parents, same house, same everything. Two totally different kids.
Oh, yes.
And both have their great strengths, both have their weaknesses, but they are two totally different individuals. And I sit there all the time. And I was just talking to someone on Saturday night, and she said, I have three kids, and they all three are totally different people. And I think myself and my siblings probably have some differences. I feel like we're kind of the same. Like we all, you know, have same family, handle things the same way, same kind of sense of humor, same kind of, you know, a lot. One might be a little bit more stubborn than the other, but they're not like, you wouldn't put my siblings together probably personality based wise and say, how the heck did you guys all grow up in the same house? But with my two, I don't understand how it happened.
That's interesting. Cause well, like I told you, mine are far apart in age. So I think I kind of worried about, and they are very, very different,
mm-hmm.
but they also are similar in a lot of ways and have a lot in common. So I guess I always try to play up or emphasize what they have in common.
Mm-hmm.
So because I'm worried about that, because I did not speak with, we didn't spend time together with one of my sisters for a number of years.
Okay.
And I don't want that for my children, because that's something I regret.
Yeah.
I look back on that now and it's like, oh boy, why did it take us so long to get over
mm-hmm.
those issues? And now we are like the best of friends, and I totally rely on her and think she's the most amazing person. I always thought she was the most amazing
right.
person. We just had issues, but I've always been very aware of that. So
mm-hmm.
that was my fear. Is that my children wouldn't have each other. And there's just two of them. Like, I'm the oldest of four.
Right.
So I've got backup.
I got
extras.
Yeah. You don't want to talk to me? I'll go talk to the other
Fine.
two.
I got yeah. another sister. Nah, nah,
right.
Nah, nah.
Right. But no, I've always worked. Like, that's one thing I never wanted, like, was to have someone in my family that I wasn't talking to. So I would always go like above and beyond to make sure
yes.
that didn't happen. But it goes back to me accommodating too.
Yes.
It does. Because I don't care what they might say or do. Everyone says something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're together your whole life with them. But I will always be like, okay, I'm not going to argue about it. I'm not going to say anything. And I just sit there all the time. Where did I get this from?
I don't know.
I don't want to cause friction or confrontation. And don't get me wrong, I'm not afraid of confrontation.
No, you're
That's not.
That's not
what I mean. But I mean, I'd rather just like have peace. If it's not super important, life or death, I try not to get too upset by it, you know? And I think that's what I've always tried to teach my kids. So I guess in one way, I've got my son who never really, not until recently, he's 19 right now, he would never argue back. He would never say boo. Mm-mm, no.
Wow.
My daughter, on the other hand, will come at you all guns a-blazing. She will not, you can want to address something with her and it ends up she's addressing something with you.
Wow.
And my son was very much the opposite. Only now is he like getting a voice where he speaks up and says something. So it's like, how does that happen?
I know. Isn't it interesting? Because you think you're raising the kids the same, but obviously they are their own person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so they're going to bring that to whatever you're doing to mm-hmm. them. Like they're not little dolls with the cord you can pull and make them say stuff.
Right.
Though, wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be easier.
Oh my gosh. Sometimes pull the cord. I'm sorry, Mom.
I love
you. Pull the cord. I'm sorry, Mom.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mom.
Right.
That's all I want some days.
Yeah. But you know, it's like going back to things that hit you and you feel like a failure, you know, and we've talked about this, but so my daughter has to start seeing a new psychologist today.
Okay.
And they literally sent 15 forms over that we have to fill out because her last place that she went where her therapist and her psychiatrist were there, they stopped taking our insurance, which I just find in this game or this day and age with all this mental illness stuff, why would you stop taking an entire insurance plan? So now we had, and she really liked her therapist and everything. It was a huge problem.
That's frustrating.
So I told her she needed to fill the paperwork out, you know, of
herself?
What she's, well, the parts that she's supposed to fill out.
Okay.
And we don't hide anything from our kids. She put on there that, you know, is there any problems in your house? Yes, parents don't get along, fight all the time. So that was awesome to read. And I just felt like squashed again.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's this kind of stuff that we're going to talk about. Because it's obviously I'm not going to wear a t-shirt going around town saying this, right? But I need to have a group of friends that I can talk to and share this with.
Exactly. And that's why, like, we're talking about how we got here. Because when I was dealing with the stuff with my son mm-hmm. before we started talking, I actually stopped leaving the house as much because I felt like I was wearing all of my problems like a coat.
Right.
And everyone could just look at me and know.
Right.
Like, oh, her son has ADD and depression.
Right.
What did she do wrong? And it wasn't until I started talking to you, mm-hmm. really, that I'm like, okay, people aren't going to judge me and I'm not a failure for this. And
no.
We are trying to help him. But that's what we want to do for other people. So
absolutely.
That's why we decide that's how we got here.
Yeah.
We're like, if I known what I know now, like, I feel like I could have helped him much sooner.
Me too.
If I'd been talking to people and if people had opened up about stuff.
Right. I mean, I was just at a unity party for my daughter's hockey team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just. Mom came up and said, does Grace sleep all the time, like till 1 a.m. or 1 p.m? And I said, she's not the kind that sleeps till 1 p.m. But I will tell you, once they start sleeping a lot, it might mean she has, you know, a depression or something. And that's my first sign, you know, the first sign the therapist told me was I should have been looking out for that. And I didn't see it. This woman was immediately like, first of all, her face couldn't believe that. I could tell by her face. She couldn't believe I said it. And she said, where do you go? Do you have someone? Because we don't even know where to go. And I don't even know this woman that much. That
so
well.
So proud of you.
Yes. But so, I thought, I'm going to be honest. If your daughter's sleeping till 1 o'clock every day that she has off, that is, I felt bad that I didn't know that.
You don't know what you did for her. You don't know. You'll probably never know.
Oh, she asked me if I liked this therapist today to please send her the information when I'm gone. When I leave. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I love hearing that mm-hmm. because we do need to. We spent 9 months with a therapist who was so bad for my son.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wasted time and it actually made things worse. And if we tried everywhere to find somewhere for him.
Yeah.
And this felt like our only option. Well, plus she told us, oh, yes, I can help.
Right. Ugh. Of course.
But if I'd known that there was somebody out there that actually had helped a boy
yes.
like my son, who I eventually did find.
Mm-hmm.
But we lost a lot of time and a lot of ground.
Right.
Because I didn't have that information.
Well, I just felt to be true to what we're trying to do and help
yeah.
with through this podcast, if I didn't say something to her, you know, and I think I would be hypocritical of what I'm trying to do. Like, and just seeing the relief on her face, like someone else, because we think she might have an issue. And I was like, there's nothing to be embarrassed
yes.
about. I'll send you the number.
Here's help. So we want to hear from you.
Yes.
We want to hear what else you want us to talk about. If you've liked the topics, if you want to add to anything you've heard so far, you can find us on Facebook at Stacy and Lynn. And we're also on Twitter at Stacy and Lynn. And what is our website? We're still putting together the website.
Right, because we actually just changed the name.
We did. But at Stacey and Lynn on Facebook and Twitter.
Yes.
And we'd love to hear from you. We want to know what we're not talking about that we should be and what your thoughts are. And it's not just you. You're not in this alone.
Nope.
I'm Stacey DeFord.
I'm Lynn Montemayor.
See you next week.